today we're here with Nettie and Honey, and you guys are with Different World. Could you tell me a little bit about what that is and when it started and whatnot?
Yeah, so thank you so much for having us too. Different World is a creative collective. We're opening up a creative hub in spring of 2021, West Asheville in the old Mothlight building, with the intentions of breaking down the barriers of entry in the creative industries. And Different World before it is what it is today, it's had many, many faces and many, many roles, but I started Different World in 2015, but it was a clothing brand and it slowly evolved into what it is today, actually.
That's really cool. So what does that really consist of? Like, what are you guys doing at the Mothlight and, well, the former Mothlight?
So there's definitely a lot of things that are going to be going on there. One of the reasons this came about is because the Mothlight closed. So there is this sort of energy in the heart of the Mothlight that we want to maintain. There will be music one day. But as Honey said, this Different World started as a clothing brand. Honey also incorporated a lot of events in these launch and release parties. Honey's a DJ also. So there's sort of this energy behind Different World of creating spaces where people can get together, experience this kind of shared community, and just feel safe in being creative, being around other creatives. Mm-hmm. And then pairing that with this space that opened up at the Mothlight, we want to bring those two things together. And like Honey said, break down the barrier of entry to the creative industry. Everything we're doing kind of comes back to that. And there's a lot of different ways that that can be accessible to people. Like we're saying, one of those is just creating space. So it's going to be an event venue, a bar, a coffee shop, basically just a room where creatives can gather and work on their creative ideas and connect with other people. The next level of that is we're actually going to provide tools and resources that help people kind of break down that barrier. Maybe somebody makes really beautiful jewelry or has paintings and wants to start selling them online. We want to provide them the tools to be able to document their work, to get really good photos of their paintings, to connect with somebody in town that can help them do print reproductions. You know, the list goes on and on, but there are these sort of turning points or key points of access that we've realized that artists need to be able to have access to get their work out there, to take that next step.
And whether it's something that we directly provide in the space or if it's somebody that we know in the community or even outside of this community that we can connect people with, we will. But the intention is, like, obviously, you know, it's a creative space. So we'll really, a lot of that question is, we'll have to wait and see who walks through the door. Yeah. That's a really big part of it. It's like, what is the need of who walks through the door and how can we provide for them? So yeah, there's some groundwork of things that we will have that's like there for people to use, but the whole vision is going to grow the more people who come through the door and the more that we're able to see what the need is or what the demand is or what interest and things that people are interested in. We've gotten proposals for installations. We've gotten proposals for art galleries to use the space for. So there's been already so many creative ideas. As soon as we told people, it was kind of like they did it for themselves, you know? So a lot of that, what we're talking about is based off of real things that people have come to us to and like, hey, I'm interested in starting a podcast or I'm interested in doing a photo shoot. Can you help me navigate what a photo shoot looks like? Because that's something that we have experience doing. Mm-hmm. And between the three of us and our core and also obviously our staff as we grow, you know, there's a lot of different background when it comes to what we're capable of doing and what we have experience in. But also, you know, we intend on partnering with people in the community, like I said, and outside of it. So really it's just the hub. It's the place that you know you can walk in and ask that question and there's going to be people there who are willing to answer it, you know, or willing to get you the answer some ways, some shape, some form, you know. And I think that, like, it's funny seeing how people digest what we're doing.
The creative hub is really the core of it, though. It's the space where people can come together. If somebody has a question and we can have that answer for them right in the space, great. But if not, we're going to reach out to the community and figure out how to get what they need.
Right. And, you know, the main thing is that We're trying to do this, and accessibility can just be simply like, you know, I don't know if you've ever applied for an art residency or anything like that. A lot of the things that we see in the art world are still built into infrastructures of, you know, racism and other things and so on and so forth. So it's important to us to make sure that we're vetting through those things, that so each and every single person that you can imagine could come through and they could feel safe, but also that, you know, there's awareness of, you know, not everyone knows what an art residency is or knows what how to build a portfolio. And so breaking some of those things down for people so that they can actually get those opportunities that they're looking for in and outside of Asheville.
That's really cool. I wasn't too clear on what that was, to be honest, because I did feel like it could mean so much, basically. So that's really cool.
And a lot of the things too, I feel like with clarity, it's like part of it, it's like we want people to use their imagination. The idea is that we're not just trying to put something in there that's like something so self-explanatory, because we're trying to look to the future, right? So a lot of the things and infrastructures that we've been abiding by haven't been working for anybody. So in order to think about things that are innovative, you almost have to say things that are a little out there that people are like, I don't really understand this. I kind of get it, I kind of don't. It's like, that's the whole entire point, is to get your brain going in a way that's like, okay, let me think outside the box. This doesn't have to be this certain thing just because it said they said this one thing, right? It can be whatever it needs to be. And that's the cool thing about what we're doing, is that Different World has become more of a movement. And so putting that movement into brick and mortar can sometimes be a little bit like, we're like, wait, hold on, how do I make that make sense? But it'll make sense.
I'm excited to see. So obviously you have the Mothlight, and it's fairly large space, but with COVID going on, what's your plan with that, sustaining all of the things that you want to do and all of the people that want to be there?
Yeah. So, you know, every day something's changing with COVID. It's a really hard question to answer because we're not open right now. If we were open right now, sure, we'd have a lot of protocol around that. As of right now, we're planning to be as COVID-proof as possible, which I don't know if you've been to the Mothlight before, but they already have, I mean, we already have such beautiful garage windows, so there's a lot of open air and whatnot, and we're working on maybe making that even more of a thing. And, you know, obviously outdoor seating and anything that you see going on that people are doing for COVID precautions, we're paying attention to and already implementing, but we're also making sure that we're paying attention to what's going to be happening then, which we don't even know now. So of course we're going to keep people safe, and that's super, super important to us. I mean, it's not like we have not already been the people who have like already been heightened about safety and making sure that people are being super, super, careful and whatnot. But I think one of the main things with that is that we're creating a safe space, and that includes masks, and that includes hand sanitizer, and that includes social distancing, and something that I think we should have been doing kind of before anyways, in my personal opinion. I was like, why was it ever normal to catch a cold? I'm like, come on now, we needed to sharpen that up anyways. So we're gonna definitely have some of these things that are like implemented even outside of COVID, you know, just like for safety things, like personal space is a thing. You don't need to be so close to people. So I think that we're just gonna navigate that as the day gets closer and closer to its opening, and then see what's happening with what's going on around the world. But as of right now, we're going to be implementing, you know, the CDC standards of what needs to be happening.
Good.
There's also a level two of like going back to the infrastructure kind of concept. We're trying to look at some of the reasons things went wrong with COVID. Why were employees feeling like they couldn't take time off if they thought they were sick? We're trying to come out in building this business with those things in the forefront and making sure that our employees feel safe, period. Whether it's in a pandemic or not, they feel like they can take time off if they need it. They feel like Honey's saying, you know, personal space, all these things that the pandemic has brought to light, a big part of the new infrastructure we're trying to create for how we're running this business is that those things are just the standard. It's not a reaction to this crisis. It's just how things already are, that employees feel safe, they feel taken care of, they feel like they're getting paid well enough that if they need to take time off, they can do that. So I think that's the other part of it, is we are in a position that, you know, starting a business during a pandemic to a lot of people sounds horrifying, and in a lot of ways it is, but these unknowns and these shifts in how people are thinking are allowing us to just start fresh and really start from a place that we feel is really grounded in making this a safe space in as many ways as possible for everyone that's in the building.
Yeah, because COVID has brought up a lot of conversations that I don't think that people were ever going to have unless that happened. So I think to me, it's a perfect opportunity, like exactly what Nettie was saying, for us to really show, hey, this is what a business looks like that cares about people and cares about making sure the earth is taken care of and cares about that people have been dying and people have been sick and so on and so forth. And how we operate moving forward is like a huge part of what we're doing. It's like, we care about people, not about money. And so that is a huge part of why there's conflict with COVID-19 is because there's power and money over people. And that's not our intentions off the get-go, you know? So we definitely intend on, like I said, holding on to our standards with that. That's the whole reason why we're here, is that we made a very solid agreement amongst ourselves that our values would be not shaken. You know what I'm saying? And if anything, we're going to heighten those things. So it's definitely one of those things where we're in the business of keeping people safe.
That's great. Do you guys have an opening date yet, or is that kind of a secret?
Well, yeah, we'll say it's a secret.
Okay. Well, I'm looking forward to it. So my last question would be, obviously you guys haven't really opened yet, but how would people help this grow, basically, and later get involved?
Yeah, so there's a few different ways that you can definitely do that. First and foremost, we're on social media. You know, we're on Instagram, we're on Twitter. Twitter's not as active, but we're getting there if somebody would engage with me and like my tweets. But yes, you can find us on Instagram, you can find us on Twitter. And we are definitely looking for people to engage with us and letting us know some of their ideas. That's one of the first things that we're gonna ask people. I just actually reposted on the story where I was asking people to, hey, what are you missing in your life when it comes to art or space or things like that? And we got a lot of really wonderful answers. So we're always asking for things like that. In fact, we'll eventually have something up on the website where people can engage with us in that way. But if you are interested in supporting us financially, you can become a supporting partner. You can do any amount, but we encourage people to do $25 a month. That would be probably equivalent to what we would have to charge if we did any kind of memberships. And that is just simply so that we can keep the Creative Hub and the equipment checkout and things like that as free as possible, accessible as possible. So if you catch the vision and you like the vision, that is a great way to support us right now. And then, of course, we have our retail. So if you want to check out our shop, which will be growing, we just started out really simple and small, and we got such a demand from people that it's like, okay, now we got to play catch up. So those are about three different ways to support us as of right now. And, of course, just like showing up when we're open, that would be great too.
Awesome. Well, that's about all I have. Do you guys have anything else you want to mention about Different World?
Well, we intend to do nothing without intention, and we hope that people do the same.